Hey guys.
Hello.
What's up?
It's so surreal. It's the Pop Shop Live.
It's like, the Pop Shop Podcast like, Live.
We're like suited up and talking to people.
We look pretty damn good.
I look amazing. You look great too.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you know.
Guys, first, I got to do my intro.
Yeah, do the intro. This wouldn't be right without the intro.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast live post-Grammy show. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor of the Pop Shop Podcast. No, I messed it up. I can't do this.
You can't go back now. It's live, dude.
It's live. I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com based in New York. I'm not in New York. As you can see, I am in Los Angeles next to my co-host who lives here. His name's Keith Caulfield. He is an associate director of charts.
Based in Los Angeles.
Based in Los Angeles,
here,
of course.
Here in sunny Los Angeles.
The Sam Smith to my Beck, I guess.
Sure.
Based up tonight. They're the big winners tonight.
I totally cleaned up tonight, basically, is what he's saying.
Basically. I mean, so, Keith.
Yes,
before
Jason.
Before we get started.
We've got a jam-packed show, people.
We got a jam-packed
it's,
show.
It's we say that every week, but really, this is a very special show, considering it's live.
Yes.
Jam-packed full of Grammy goodness.
Yes.
And also, we're just running off of nothing but fumes and caffeine, because we've been up for most of the day.
Yeah. I'm so tired, but I'm so happy.
I'm so tired right
so
now.
Happy.
If we collapse, it's just because, well, we've had nothing to eat all day.
Exactly. Well, the whole point of doing this, so let's do a little bit of an intro. We've never done a live podcast before. We've never done a video podcast before. It's not even really a podcast.
No, it's not really a podcast. Like, it's a live video stream.
But here's
stream.
The thing. If you're you know, listening to this on Monday, on Tuesday, we're going to archive this audio. We'll have this up on iTunes, on SoundCloud, just like we always do.
So if you missed us live tonight, you will be able to catch the audio later at your leisure. But, you know, I mean, it's not quite the same as being here right now live with
us. Exactly. Yeah. If you're watching this live, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk Grammys. We were both on the red carpet. We were on the red carpet today for about 5 hours.
It's the longest red carpet possibly in awards history in general. The Grammys were always a crazy long red carpet. But it was great being there with Jason.
I know. We did. We literally tag team. We were like, all right, I want to talk to Rick Ross.
I'm like, it's all you. Rick Ross. All you, baby. All
right. You want to talk to Sam Smith. You got to Sam Smith.
Yes. Oh, I've got a story about the Sam Smith interview. We'll get to that.
So we're going to talk about all that. We're going to be talking about the performances and the awards show of tonight, Sunday night, February 8th, 2015, the 57th annual Grammy Awards, an amazing show. We just watched it. Basically, what happened was we went from the red carpet to...
We're telling you secrets now.
It's a little bit behind the curtain, but we went from the Staples Center, where the Grammys were, back to our LA office. We watched it via DVR, caught up in real time, and now here we are, live, immediately after the show. And Keith, here's the cool thing.
Yes.
Before we get started, because this is live, we can talk to people who are on Twitter right now, asking questions.
Absolutely.
Who want to know what we think? Who are angry? Who are happy? Who are everything.
Are you steamed because Beyonce didn't win Album of the Year?
Yeah.
Are you peeved because Sia got the shaft?
Maybe.
Well, you should tweet us Use the hashtag Pop Shop.
Pop Shop, yeah. Hashtag Pop Shop. And one added bonus, we have a third voice on here. You can't see her.
She's disembodied.
Our friend and our colleague, I say friend before colleague because she is my friend, Leslie is in the building.
She's off camera, but she can talk to us.
Good evening, fellas.
Leslie
is
disembodied
right over
voice.
Here. I'm looking at her right now. And what she's going to be doing is helping us collect every tweet, everything with the hashtag Pop Shop. And again, if you have questions, if you have comments, let us know. We're going to be taking a couple breaks in between our own boneheaded chatter.
And quality boneheaded chatter.
Quality boneheaded
I don't know
chatter.
What you're talking about.
Exactly. So, Keith.
Jason.
Let's talk about the first thing that's on everyone's mind. Who is this Beck guy?
Who is this guy? I don't know.
Is it Jeff Beck?
Jeff Beck?
Is it former Washington Redskins quarterback John Beck?
Man, you put those together pretty well.
Thank you.
I was like, pulling out the sports trivia.
Is it David Beckham?
David Beckham.
Do a misspelling? Okay. Obviously, we know who Beck is.
We do. Clearly, a lot of people on the internet may not.
I think that was more trolly than everything.
It's very much. Who's this gentleman named Paul McCartney that's suddenly making a Kanye record? I think it's that kind of trolling. It's that kind of jokiness.
Yeah.
But there probably is a significant number of people who are not incredibly familiar with Beck because he hasn't had a big pop hit in a very long time.
Yeah, it's so true. That's the thing. So,
by the way, Beck won Album of the Year.
Yeah.
And that was a huge surprise, I think, to a lot of of people because Beyonce was in that category, Sam Smith was in that category, a lot of folks that people thought would win, and then Beck pulls out the win. And I think if you saw his lips move when he was walking up, he said a word that seemed like he was very surprised.
Yeah, I mean, well, what's cool is that we talked to him on the red at the red carpet of the Clive Davis pre-Grammys party last night, and I asked him, I was like, hey, you're nominated for Album of the Year, this is his third time being nominated, what did he think his chances were? And he said that he would be very surprised with this record if it won. And I asked him why. I was like, you know, Morning Phase.
It's one of your favorite albums of the year.
It's not one of my favorite albums of the year, but
you really like the album.
I really like the
album.
Okay,
good.
It's
I was like, you did say that you did enjoy the album.
I really do enjoy the album. It's not. I don't think it's album of the year, and we'll talk about that in a second. But just him saying basically what he said, and I'm gonna
transcribed some notes, so we're not misquoting
exactly.
Beck. Is basically what's happening here.
I don't want to do that. But basically, his point was that he just didn't think he was going to win. He thought that Beyonce, Sam Smith, Ed Sheeran, Pharrell, you know, someone more crowd pleasing, someone.
I think something there could have been, while you look for that, I think there could have been some split votage stuff happening in this particular category.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Sam and Beyonce may have split the vote to a certain degree. And I think that's how Beck, with his sort of core supporters, maybe slipped in and won.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
well, here's what
quote?
He said. He said, I asked him why he didn't think he was going to win. And he said, I think it's just the moment in music. You know what I mean? I've been in that category before, and it's usually something that's very definitive of the time.
Right.
And I think that Beck is touching on something that a lot of people are feeling right now, which is that Morning Phase by Beck might be a great album. I think it's a very good album. But it doesn't really reflect the year in music like something like a Beyonce.
Beyonce was an incredible statement record, and it like sort of shook up the industry.
Exactly. And Sam Smith, a huge new voice, and we're going to get to Sam Smith in a second. I mean, even
he did just fine, really.
He's fine. Yeah.
He's okay.
I don't think he's complaining today.
No.
But Ed Sheeran, Multiply? I mean, Ed Sheeran is someone who is influencing pop music in a big way. He's bringing guitars back, especially for male artists, especially for male young artists. And then you have Pharrell, not just Happy, but working with Daft Punk, Justin Timberlake, Miley Cyrus on that album.
I think Pharrell winning with Girl would have always been an incredible long shot. Like,
yeah, that's kind of true. I think that
like
would
he was
been
about as likely to win as Beck was in my mind. I guess I was clearly wrong because Beck won. But still, I really thought Beyonce was going to win.
What's really funny is that if you think about Beck's career, he 20 years ago with Odelay, or I guess almost 20 years ago.
Maybe. It's been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long,
good
man.
Grief.
Unbelievable.
Like 96, yeah. So it's been almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years. He was kind of where someone like an Ed Sheeran was, where he was he was breaking the mold, and he was really setting trends.
This is like a delayed honor.
It's kind
of... Because he was nominated for Odelay for Album of the Year. He was also nominated, I think, for Midnight Vultures.
Midnight Vultures, which is one of my favorite albums.
Both are amazing, amazing albums. And I've been kind of, you know, ignorant of Beck lately, frankly. I think a lot of people have. We've just sort of been late on the Beck train.
Yeah.
And now he's being honored for something, and I think it's kind of a delayed honor in a way.
I totally agree.
It's kind of like, you know, at the Academy Awards when there's like a 75-year-old like gentleman who wins for Best Supporting Actor, and it's almost like a Lifetime Achievement Award type thing.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that, except Beck isn't 75, obviously.
Yeah, it's almost like when Martin Scorsese won for The Departed. And it's like,
finally, we're giving it to you.
I mean, yeah, exactly. With Beck, it's like, Beck is a great artist, and he's had an amazing career. And at the same time, should he have won Album of the Year for Morning Phase?
Beyonce still has yet to win Album of the Year.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
If she didn't win it this year, I mean, when is she going to win it? Like,
what's going on?
What's going on? All right, so let's toss it to Leslie. Leslie, you've been collecting tweets. What are some people saying about Beck, about Album of the Year?
There are a lot of questions coming in. A lot of people want to know about Sia being shut out. If you want to touch on that, there's
a lot of things happening. Did she not win any of her categories?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
That was another thing that was very subtle. And we're skipping ahead to the performances a little bit, but I thought her performance, Kristen Wiig and Maddie Ziegler, my So You Know You Can't Dance co-star.
Your buddy.
Co-star,
hundreds of thousands of views for Maddie Ziegler and Jason.
They were unbelievable. That might have been the performance of the night, and I think it was kind of, you know, stowed away in the final hour.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's tricky how they arrange the performances throughout the night. They want to keep you there, and I think with a performance like hers, it could have gone anywhere in the show, really.
That's true.
Because it's so experimental and different. I think it's unfortunate that Sia didn't win, if that's true, any of her awards.
Song of the Year, especially.
I kind of thought she had a chance for Song of the Year.
Such a well-written song.
But it turned out to be sort of like the Sam Smith, like, Chattanooga Choo Choo, like, steaming through town. And I thought maybe she would have won for best music video, short form music video, and I guess she didn't win that.
Happy one by Pharrell.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Good.
I wouldn't make that up, man.
I mean, come on. By the way, Sia ran past us on the carpet.
Yes.
She did not stop and do any interviews. I asked in advance. I was like, please.
Yeah.
And they were like, we are not doing a single interview on the carpet. But she had this amazing wig on.
It was so unreal. I know. That was really cool. I mean, what's been cool, even though Sia didn't win any Record of the Year, Song of the Year, she wasn't nominated for Album of the Year. But, I mean, what's been so cool about this 1,000 Forms of Fear run to me is that I've totally gone, I feel like in the past few weeks I've had a total 180 on this, where – before I was like, all right, Sia, come on, like, you should show your face. Like, I understand.
Let's move on. Let's get past
this. I understand your wishes, but, like, you should show your face. But now I'm like, she just keeps innovating by not showing her face.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's like she keeps finding new ways to make me want to watch a Sia performance. Now, you think about some of these performances tonight that were totally fine. That, like, I'm thinking of, like, Ariana Grande.
Totally fine.
Totally fine.
Gwen Stefani and Adam Levine.
Gwen Stefani.
Totally fine.
Totally fine. Just very perfunctory more than anything else. It's very, like, very safe, I guess, in a way as well. And Sia, even though she doesn't show her face, is still performing the heck out of these songs, Chandelier and Elastic Heart, her new song, or her new single, I should say. Definitely not a new song. It's been out for about 2 years. But, I mean, what she's doing is so interesting.
Yeah.
And every time she performs on, like, Ellen or The Tonight Show, like, I want to watch that performance.
Right, because you know it's going to be something unique and one of a kind, and you're not going to see it again. And that's the beauty of all these Sia performances. You're interested in how she's going to perform it, but at the same time, the music itself is so compelling that, you know, she doesn't need to be in the front with a microphone, and she knows that, and she's probably loving this. She's like, yay, I don't have to be up there. I can still go to Whole Foods and do my shopping, and no one's going to see me, and it'll be fine. So did you want to talk about some of our favorite performances of the night, or do you want to talk about Sam Smith and his...
Let's talk about Sam Smith for a second.
Who won basically everything he was nominated for, essentially.
Yeah. Sam Smith, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit, and I'll do it actually because people can watch us and see me pat myself on the back.
Yes.
I called 3 out of 4 of the main categories, the major categories correctly, just by betting on the Sam Smith sweep.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Adele kind of evening.
And
people talked about how he's like the male Adele. Well, he kind of Adele'd the Grammys where he just basically won everything.
And the reason is I picked him to win Record of the Year and Song of the Year, both for Stay With Me. And I picked him to win Best New Artist. And obviously, this stuff is a crapshoot. Something else could have snuck in, especially for Record of the Year. Record of the Year had so many worthy candidates.
If only Beck was up for Record of the Year, then Sam wouldn't have won, maybe.
It's true.
Right.
That's like half true. But, I mean, the reason I picked him is I just thought he was the safest bet in terms of what Grammy voters always go toward, what they gravitate toward in terms of music, in terms of personality. He's this huge-voiced British sensation, and he has a huge ballad, and everyone likes him.
This is also the same Academy that voted Daft Punk for Record and Album of the Year last year, which is a little left of center.
Yeah. Last year, I think, was totally – and I wrote about this last year, was that it was totally left of center because you had, like, Lorde, who was, you know – It was kind of like Lorde was in last year what the Meghan Trainor was this year, which was like a totally fresh voice and a fresh face. And but Lorde actually won. Meghan Trainor did not win, unfortunately for her. And Best New Artist, I mean, last year, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis with this kind of offbeat smash rap album. But this year they go back to something a little bit more Grammy voter friendly with Sam Smith.
Right, yeah. Now, I mean, Sam won everything I think that he was probably up for. And we talked to him on the carpet, by the way.
Yeah.
I talked to him on the red carpet, and you can probably watch the video. If it's not up now, it'll be up in the next 24 hours. It was a lovely, lovely chat.
He was really nice.
He was very nice. And it was kind of crazy because we talked to him a little over a year ago on the Grammy red carpet before his EP, I think, even came out, or maybe the EP had just come out. And he was really, frankly, no one in America yet. And we talked to him, and he was lovely, and he was talking about how his upcoming album is about heartbreak and breaking up, you know, how he's never been in love. I'm like, dude.
What did you just make?
I was like, and then, like, you know, I was like, a year later, here he is at the Grammy Awards, and he sweeps, and he called me Gorge, by
hey,
the way.
There you go, man.
He was like, hey, Gorge. I'm like, hi. Clearly, we go way back. I mean, I've talked to him on a few red carpets, but that was a fun moment. And we asked him about working on his upcoming music.
Yeah.
And he said that he needs to kiss some more boys and have some more sort of stories from that. And I was like, well, how's the boy kissing thing going lately? And he was like, well, I don't know. After tonight, we'll see. I'm like, all right, Sam Smith.
All right. Sam Smith's partying it while we're doing this live.
Exactly.
Podcast.
Sam Smith is somewhere right now, like kissing a bunch of boys and getting his next album together.
Four Grammys for him. Unbelievable. Leslie, let's kick it over to you. What is going on in the Twitter sphere?
So a fan, Franklin in Nashville.
At Franklin in Nashville?
No, just
Franklin. A fan, Franklin. Hi.
He wants to know what you guys thought of Madonna's performance tonight.
Yeah, of course someone's going to ask.
Keith.
Because we all want to know.
Let's do it, Keith.
They may have heard that I enjoy the Madonna.
Yeah. I've heard that rumor as well.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yep.
What did we think of Madonna's performance? What did you think about it, Jason? She performed Living for Love, had a big gospel choir. She had a bunch of dudes with masks and horns, and they were like bulls, and she was the bullfighter.
Madonna minions.
Madonna minions.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought Madonna's performance... First of all, I thought it was weird that they did Kanye's performance and Madonna's performance like immediately back to back.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I don't really like when they do that, when there's just no breathing room. I feel like I want to like either an award to be presented or a commercial break or something.
Something. Just
but
a little
they
room.
Went from this totally minimalist Kanye performance of Only One into
this
Madonna
huge.
Maximalist
yeah.
Living for Love. And she was very good.
Choosing your words very carefully.
I didn't think it was mind-blowing. I definitely didn't think it was mind-blowing. But I do feel like she still has that raw energy and that command of the stage where even at the – I feel like halfway through the performance, it was lagging a little bit. And then she really turned it up.
Yeah.
She got the hand claps going. She got everybody to stand up. And then she ascends to heaven.
Yes.
At the end of the performance.
And then she rises to the rafters.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want from a Madonna performance.
I thought it was – what do you think?
I agree with you. I think when she could just sort of like loosen up and like just be like Madonna and like sort of work the crowd, like that was the best part.
Yeah.
Like the choir comes out and she's clapping along. She's like, get off your seats, get up, come on. You know, that's, you know, she's past the choreography. She's past the like, okay, which bullfighter head do I grab? Now I'm flipping up. You know, she's like running through this in her head. And so you want to get into the moment. And I think towards the end, you got into the moment. I think it was an incredible spectacle, certainly. I mean, it was an incredible spectacle.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, what all of you think about this performance.
Absolutely. Leslie, what are some people saying about the performance?
We've had other people that are asking about Hozier and and the Annie Lennox collaboration.
What
were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I have a list of what we think are our favorite performances of the night. At least I did. And that was, I thought, one of the best performances of the night.
For sure.
Because, you know, on the surface, you're like, I don't know if this is really going to work. I mean, I know their voices will blend. This is Hozier and Annie Lennox doing a medley of Take Me to Church and I Put a Spell on You. I Put a Spell on You was from Annie's nominated album, Nostalgia. Hey, by the way, we talked to her on the Pop Shop podcast this week.
Look at
What's
that.
Up, Annie?
Yeah, let's take a second to pimp our last Pop Shop podcast with Nile Rodgers.
A presenter tonight on the show.
And Annie Lennox.
A performer and nominee
like,
tonight.
Find that. It's actually probably at the bottom of your screen right now.
We're just probably kind of promoting it a little bit.
When we're done with this like that was great.
I thought it was an amazing performance
because
like she comes out and suddenly she's like, oh yeah, and like blows the roof off the place.
You know, one of the things I like about the Grammys is that people talk about how they talk with a groan about these My Grammy moments,
mm-hmm.
where there's all these,
it's a once in a lifetime performance that you'll never see anywhere else.
Exactly.
I don't know what that accent is, but you know me and my accents. Suddenly it's Tina Turner.
I mean, for every, it seems like half of them are so bland and then half of them are good, but not mind blowing as they want them to be. But then I feel like every year there's always one that just destroys.
Yeah.
And last year it was for me, Imagine Dragons and Kendrick, which was amazing.
So awesome.
And then this year, if you had told me that Hozier and Annie Lennox was going to be one of the best performances of the night, I would have been like,
right.
I would have been like,
really?
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 Are you sure?
Are you sure?
How much have you had to drink?
Yes.
But you didn't have anything to drink. You were like, and I'm saying this as the viewer, Hozier and Annie Lennox were awesome.
Yeah.
They were really good. And I'm not a big Take Me to Church fan, but that combined with I Put a Spell on You, it was like a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah. There you go. I wonder if there's a bunch of people on the internet going, who's this lady? Who is this white-haired
lady? Saying, yeah.
And Beck and this white-haired lady, they're really cleaning up tonight.
I know. Beck and this white-haired lady. It sounds... that sounds like a fairy tale. Like
Beck and the white-haired lady.
Beck and the white-haired lady. What we were saying...
That was the cutscene from Into the Woods.
Yeah. We were saying during the show that the casual Grammy viewer is not going to know who Annie Lennox is in 2015. And
it's true, but this is a way to introduce her.
Yeah, and, you know, she came out and like a bat out of hell and just melted faces.
A bat on the highway to hell. Right, coming off the highway to hell, it took sort of the exit over to the church.
Hozier Lane.
Hozier Lane. Speaking of which, AC/DC opened the show, obviously, with Highway to Hell. That's the inside joke that we're making.
Yeah.
Well, they opened it with a medley.
Rock or Bust,
and then Highway to Hell. Interesting opening.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know. Should we ask Leslie if there's anything else?
Leslie, yeah. Let's.
There are plenty of questions.
Yeah, we can just keep going back to Leslie, the disembodied voice
questions.
Of Leslie.
Two really good ones I like coming up.
Okay.
So the first one is from a gentleman named Mark in Athens, Ohio.
Hey, okay. Mark.
He wants to know, we all want to know, what did you guys think about Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga cheek to cheek? The chemistry between them, the performance.
They're great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those performances where you're like, this is not going to go wrong. Like, they're both such pros and they've done this performance a lot. Well, not this specific performance, obviously.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same sort of element of surprise as, say, a Hozier and Annie Lennox. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's quality. Like, this is not going to go wrong.
It's fine. Yeah,
yeah.
It's totally good. I mean, it struck me the same way that the Tom Jones and Jesse J.
Definitely Gaga and Tony are on a different level than Tom Jones and Jesse J.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but it was...
We're going to talk about Jesse J. again, aren't we? We have this thing. We talk about Jesse J. and then we have an argument.
She performed tonight. Come
on. And then we don't get along for a while.
She's a nominee for Bang Bang.
Bang Bang.
That's exactly how she sounds. I thought that I compare them because it was an older man and a younger current pop female.
Right.
On a duet.
Right.
And both of those were very. It was like it brought a twinkle to your eye. It was like Tom Jones, Jesse J.
Are you just like pulling this out of the sky right now? Like
little diamonds out of the sky. Yeah, I mean.
Shine bright, Jason. You shine bright.
Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett were great together. It's so funny because we saw Tyler Oakley, who co-hosted our podcast.
We saw him on the carpet.
We saw him on the carpet, and he was still talking about damn cheek to cheek. That dude loves.
He's like, who are you most excited to see? He's like, Lady Gaga, cheek to cheek.
Cheek to cheek.
Cheek to cheek.
It was like he's been tested. All right, Leslie, what else we got?
All right, it's going to be about Katy Perry now.
Okay.
Ooh, so
okay.
We all know she just performed the Super Bowl. It was obviously a very different performance, and I think that's what the comparisons are now. Like, you know,
right.
We're talking about Left Shark. We're talking about she's a shooting star. And then tonight it was all about she has this important message.
Right.
By the grace of God.
Right.
How did she do?
I thought the entire segment, we talked to Neil Portnower, who's the president of the Recording Academy, on the red carpet, and I asked him specifically, I said, well, you have a very special person introducing Katy Perry's performance tonight. And he talked about the importance of, you know, raising sort of social awareness with artists and musicians and how, you know, the community itself can kind of, you know, rise up. And they did that numerous times tonight, obviously with the finale with Beyonce and John Legend and Common, and with Katy Perry. And I thought the Katy performance was quite compelling and quite moving.
Yeah.
And especially with the President of the United States introducing the segment, and then you have a fierce, incredible introduction speech from a woman whose name I don't know, Brooke. I apologize, but she was amazing.
Yeah,
and then Katy with the sort of projection behind her, I thought it was really great.
The thing about this is that Katy Perry didn't have to do this performance. I think that was what really struck me about it. Is I was watching it, And it was very elaborate with the shadow behind her and the whole messaging. And I was just thinking, this is a person who last Sunday night performed at the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
There's no reason that she has to perform at the Grammy Awards. She's not promoting a new album. This is a song that might not even be a single from Prism. And yet she took it upon herself to really stand up and say something important, at least through her music and through this introduction with Brooke and the president. I mean, really innovative, really powerful, and on a night that there's a lot of glitz and glamour and some jokes had. I mean, let's take a moment to say that, like, Katy Perry stepped up and really scored here.
I suppose also when, you know, you're approached, if you're an artist, like, say, Katy Perry, and you're approached with this concept of, okay, so we're going to have the President of the United States introduce you. And you're like, okay. I mean, he didn't technically introduce. He didn't say, and please welcome Katy Perry.
Yeah.
But still, you're part of a segment that involves, you know, POTUS. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's also a very important message. And also, this particular song itself is a very important song to Katy as well. So, yeah, I mean, she can go from Left Shark and the Shooting Star to a very serious moment. That's sort of why she is who she is.
Absolutely. What else we got, Leslie?
So Ernesto in Taiwan wants
Ernesto in Taiwan.
He wants to know, do you think if Taylor Swift, should she have actually performed at the Grammys?
Well, you can't have enough Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But they got her to do two presentations. At the beginning of the show and the end of the show. I mean, I think they probably tried. They probably tried very hard to get Taylor to perform, but she's just very busy planning her tour, as she said on Tumblr and Twitter.
That's very true.
Yeah,
yeah. I wish we had seen some Taylor Swift performance tonight. I wish that I was surprised that she didn't perform and that Meghan Trainor, who was up for Record of the Year, Song of the Year,
it's quite surprising.
And Iggy Azalea as well. Those are the three that really surprised me.
There was another Record of the Year nomination, I think, last year or the year before, and it was when Carly Rae Jepsen was up, and she wasn't booked to perform at all on the show. So
it's not a guarantee. Yeah,
it's not a guarantee that you're going to get a performance slot on the show.
Yeah,
and you know the producers of the show, when they put this show together, they're looking at, all right, well, if we have Meghan Trainor on the show, is she going to do something that people haven't seen before? And if she's been on a bunch of TV shows recently and a lot of talk shows, well, what are you going to bring to us that's new? And they clearly just made the editorial decision not to book her.
Yeah.
Odd, but okay.
Let's talk about two performances from Album of the Year nominees. They were not Beck. They did not have Morning Face. But let's talk about Ed Sheeran first.
Okay.
Who performed with John Mayer, Herbie Hancock, and Questlove of the Roots.
And someone else whose name I'm forgetting.
Yes.
Remind us, feel
free.
Those
were like the super friends, though.
Right.
It was like an Ed Sheeran Thinking Out Loud super friends group.
Super friends.
I thought that was great. That was, I think, in my list of my favorite performances, I think that would be number four.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm looking at my notes to see what I said earlier.
Okay.
I said perfectly good. It's a nice touch with Mayer, Herbie, Quest, but did they really add very much? And I think once John Mayer had his guitar solo, then it's when things started to get sort of stepped up a notch.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like, oh, this is nice, but is it really necessary?
I think that the magic in it was that, as you pointed out while we were watching, Ed usually performs solo.
Right.
Like, he's just on, you know, he's playing Madison Square Garden. It's just him and his guitar and his loops. And that's, you know, that's an amazing show that he puts on, but this is something special. They're
right.
Talking about my Grammy moment, what you're not going to see. You're never going to see Ed Sheeran perform the song again with a guitarist like John Mayer, with a drummer like Questlove, with a pianist like Herbie Hancock.
Right.
Like, that's just unbelievable. I did think it lost a little bit of its focus. I guess it's a separate performance, but when ELO came out.
Right, the ELO segment.
It was just so long. I mean,
it's very long. God love ELO.
God love
Jeff Lynne.
ELO, Mr. Blue Sky forever.
Love and the Evil Woman.
Yeah,
but it
just was so long.
It was long. It seemed long, and it shouldn't seem long.
Yeah, exactly. Another one. So the other Album of the Year nominee, Pharrell. We got to talk about this Pharrell performance.
What the heck?
What the heck was that?
It was like Flying Tiger Crouching Pharrell. It was so weird.
Crouching Pharrell, Hidden Long Long.
Hidden Long Long.
I think that was the official name of that performance.
And very present Hans Zimmer on guitar, like in the middle of the stage. And that was special.
Listen, here's what all I'll say about this performance. Sometimes you take risks, and sometimes those risks don't pay off.
I still thought it was very interesting.
Yeah.
It was certainly interesting.
I mean, great song. But we were both really happy when – happy, no pun intended. We were both very happy when he actually started playing the song instead
right.
of just delivering this dramatic
– it's like 45-second intro of like dramatic like music. We're like,
and then
oh, my
like,
God.
It's like long, long break. Then he's back.
Because we're long, long.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Leslie. Let's take
back to
some
Leslie.
More Twitter questions.
Okay, we got a lot of good questions coming in.
Oh, cool, okay.
This gentleman named Paulino. I hope I'm saying that right.
Okay.
He wants to know, what did you guys think of Ariana Grande's performance, and why didn't she perform one last time?
That we were
exactly,
talking about
that.
That
is exactly what
like
I
Jason
asked.
Was just like, she's not doing her single. She's doing like an album track.
Yeah,
like,
so the song she performed was Just a Little Bit of Your Heart. It was co-written, I don't know if you knew this, by Harry Styles.
I know this only because you told me earlier.
Oh, did I? I don't know. I
a
think
lot
I said
of stuff
that out loud.
Happened.
I was like focusing on something.
He's like,
else.
This is the
Harry Styles
track.
Song.
Maybe that's why she did it.
I didn't love the performance because nothing against Ariana. I just think it was the wrong song choice. It kind of reminded me of when, remember a couple years ago when Fun was nominated in all four major categories and they did Carry On
mm-hmm.
and as their Grammy performance. And I was just like, you want to do a crowd pleaser at some point. I know that you want to promote your new single. This wasn't even really a new single, but even if she'd done One Last Time, which is actually her new single, mm-hmm. I mean, I know she's done Problem, Break Free, Love Me Harder.
Well, she's not going to bust out Bang Bang with Nicki and Jessie, certainly.
Can we say a hallelujah?
Can we like retire?
That they did not do Bang Bang at this award show.
I mean, we love the Bang Bang, but yeah, no. I think clearly Ariana must really love this song, and she really wanted to sort of make sort of a slow statement, you know?
I think, well, here's the thing. I think that she wanted to prove her vocal power and in doing like a serious ballad, but she's already proven that to me. Like,
yeah.
even with her last album, Yours Truly, like, she performed on a couple award shows doing ballads. You didn't really need to do that. I just think it was overshadowed by the other performances.
Yeah, I mean, when you're following AC/DC, because I think she was the second performance of the night.
Yeah.
Following AC/DC. I mean, she didn't follow them immediately, but you follow that and it's like, and here's a song that you probably don't know because it's an album track and it hasn't been a single and it's a slow song.
Yeah. It's
please
just the,
enjoy.
It's
like,
just
ooh,
the,
I don't know.
You know, and I'm sure Ariana fans loved it, but I just that as someone who, you know, is objective, it was. I
you're like, as someone who's objective, unlike Ariana Grande fans, that's what he's actually saying.
No, that is what I'm saying, is that Ariana Grande fans is like, that's awesome that she's performing at the Grammys. My Everything was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album. That's great. But I would have liked to see her do another song.
Yeah.
Leslie. Let's do it. I'm really glad we're getting some good Twitter questions. Are people actually like tweeting hashtag #PopShot?
They are.
That's great.
We're
hey.
Thrilled at this. Keep them coming.
Thanks, guys.
So this is different. So JC in Los Angeles would like to know, what's your opinion about Lana Del Rey getting snubbed this year?
Mm. Oh, I think you may have asked this question.
Can I say that I
think
hope
Lana
is,
was up for anything this year, was she?
No, she was yeah. not. I kind of hope that this is JC Chazé asking this question, because he is in Los Angeles. He was at the
it
Clive
could
party
be
last night.
JC Chazé.
What if JC Chazé is just a big Lana Del Rey guy?
Yeah, maybe.
I thought that
you enjoy the Lana, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I was really unsure of Lana until Ultraviolence, and I really like this album. And you know, I don't think that she has the whole industry behind her yet. I want to say something diplomatic about this, that I just don't think she's taken – people view her as a serious artist now, obviously, and have for a while, but more – I think she's – I guess she's gathering more and more people, and I don't think she's there yet. Does that make sense?
I think she's actually kind of low profile in a way. I know she's not a low profile artist. Obviously, she had a number one album.
Yeah.
She, mind you, remember her album came out the same week as Sam Smith's album,
yes.
And Sam Smith debuted at number two behind yeah. Lana Del Rey.
That's a chart stat of the night.
There you go.
Boom.
We'll see if Sam Smith jumps ahead to number one in the coming weeks. He's yet to be number one on the bill. Okay, wait. But yeah, I think Lana has sort of purposely like kind of dialed things back. She's not like on every TV show.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare, and I think that might be the low key is probably, you know, in a way not making her, you know, front of mind to Academy voters. And
yeah.
you know, a lot of this is just people voting, and you know, it's up
to
the Academy.
In, you know, it's just so hard to get every single name into every major category. You think of someone like Hozier, like, in another year, maybe Take Me to Church.
I think he had one nomination this year.
Yeah, and
Song of the Year.
Obviously, Song of the Year is a huge nomination. He performed, but you think that in other years, maybe he's nominated more in the alternative category, maybe for Record of the Year as well, maybe for some other stuff. It's just hard to fit everyone in.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lana's going anywhere. That's the whole thing, is that it's the same with Katy Perry. Katy Perry still hasn't won a Grammy, correct? Because she went 0-2
tonight?
That's
right. She didn't win either. So she still has not yet. Katy Perry, one of the biggest stars that we have in pop music, has yet to win a Grammy
award.
And
what's funny is that yesterday I was tweeting with someone who is a Katy Perry fan and said, if she's like, do you think she's going to win this year? I was like, well, I don't know. She has some stiff competition. And they said, if she doesn't win this year, they'll never give it to her. I'm like, that's a crazy
that's
thing
stupid.
To say, because, you know, it's just so hard because you have a 20% chance of winning. I'm sure Katy Perry is a huge enough star, just like Lana Del Rey is going to be around for a while. Katy's going to be around for a while. Is eventually going
to
win a Grammy.
Look, just to throw some knowledge here, Madonna didn't win a Grammy Award until 1991.
Boom!
The Rolling Stones, I don't think, won a Grammy Award till like 1990, 92. Like, they had to like give them like a special achievement award before they actually won something. So, I mean, there's a whole boatload of artists. Like, Cher didn't win a Grammy until Believe.
These are chart bombs that you're dropping, by
the
way.
So for those people who are just like, oh man, One Direction hasn't won something yet, or Katy Perry, I'm like, you know, there's a slew of people that haven't won a Grammy. Meanwhile, Beyonce has like 28.
Yeah,
so,
that's
really.
Not an album of the year, though.
This no slant like Beyonce.
Leslie, let's take a couple more.
All right, so the next question I have is, who do you think will get the biggest bump in sales as a result from performing on the show?
Keith.
I'm like, did someone just make this question up just for me, basically?
I think I tweeted it. I tweeted it on my laptop right here.
I think Sam Smith. Generally speaking, the people that have the biggest gains in terms of sales are going to be those who had the biggest wins in the night, multiple turns at the podium, Sam Smith.
Yep.
And then a performance that kind of blows people away. I think Sam is going to be the big winner here. And I think his album maybe finally might be able to go to number one in the next week or two.
Yeah.
As a result. And as I wrote about in my column in Billboard magazine, I don't think I've actually said this out loud online anywhere yet. Maybe I did. Only four albums who have won. Well, he didn't win Album of the Year, did he? No.
He did not. That was Beck.
That was Beck. Well, then he won't make my thing come true. So this.
Oh, sorry, man.
I was going to say, if he had won Album of the Year and then gone to number one, he would have been the fifth album to jump to number one after winning Album of the Year. But he didn't win Album of the Year, so it doesn't really matter. But I think he'll have a huge sales gain, obviously.
What do you think about the songs that were performed tonight and what will have a huge gain? I know this is, you know, while you look through this list,
yes,
I'm going to make my prediction, and I think 4 or 5 seconds,
which
we haven't even touched upon yet.
Which we haven't even
Kanye,
talked about.
Rihanna, Paul McCartney.
Well, I have a list here of what... Sorry. I have a list here of what I thought were some of the best performances of the night. We already talked about a couple of them, but now we can bring those up. Hozier and Annie, which we talked about.
Yep.
Sia's Chandelier. Miranda Lambert's Little Red
Wagon.
Yeah,
she was awesome.
That was great.
She kicked ass.
That was like fun and like pyro and just kick out the, you know...
Kick out the Little Red Wagon.
Kick out the little John Mellencamp type of throwback.
She's just an artist that is now a veteran, and
yeah.
Sometimes you forget how electric of a performer she is.
Yeah.
And then you see her on an award show like this, and it's like they intro'd her, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot Miranda Lambert's performing. And then she just murdered it. Like,
yeah.
She was great.
And then also on our list was Rihanna, Paul, and Kanye. Rihanna, Paul McCartney, and Kanye West doing
so good.
4 or 5 seconds, which I think could have opened the show.
Yes.
Instead of AC/DC.
Yes.
No
it's
offense
so true.
To AC/DC, because I love the AC/DC. Truly, you might think that I'm lying to you. I'm not. But I really think it could have opened the show.
Yeah, and the reason that I say that I think it's going to have the big bump, either sales or charts or whatnot.
Streams. We cover it all.
Because here's the thing, is that people who are like us, who obsess about music, who are on the blogs every day, who are on Twitter paying attention to song releases, they know about 4 or 5 seconds. Those people have heard it.
But the average person watching the Grammys probably doesn't know
that
the three of them, these three huge stars have a new song together.
People who listen to top 40 radio, and listen, I'm not, you know, talking down to them. I'm just saying that, you know, I know a lot of people who aren't like obsessed with Twitter and blah and music blogs and stuff, but know like, oh, I heard this on the radio. Or I watched this at the Grammys. I think that's what's going to happen with 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I think that this performance was so good. This song is so great, and it's like it's hard to even like, you know, find words for the experience.
You really like the song.
No, I was just going to say the experience of seeing Rihanna, Kanye West, and Paul McCartney. Like,
right.
Three just legends right yep. now. I think that's going to be, I think that was probably my favorite performance of the night.
Wow.
And it wasn't even, you know.
That's trumping Tom Jones and Jesse J.
Come on.
We're not going to let it go.
Come on, man.
You've lost. No.
Leslie, let's take a couple more.
All right, so Simon in Germany.
Hi, Simon.
What's up, Simon?
He wants to
Hello,
know, is 1989 the front runner at the moment for Grammys
Good
next
question.
Year?
I think definitely 1989 will probably get a nomination for Album of the Year. We're talking about Taylor Swift's 1989.
Yeah.
Because it was not, that her album was not eligible. It came out too late for this year's Grammy Awards. But Shake It Off, the first single, was eligible. And that was up, obviously, for Record of the Year.
Let me ask you a question, Keith. And I wrote about this last week.
Yes, Jason.
Do you think that the Grammys should run with the Gregorian calendar the way that the Oscars do, and just everything in 2014 is fair game?
Well, then that sets off this like sort of domino effect of, okay,
the last quarter of 2013,
right? Because
too.
We wouldn't actually have, because the cutoff for the Grammy Awards, I believe, is, I want to say, September 30th.
Yeah,
is when
so this Album of the Year, and this is what bugs me.
Had to have come out before September 30th.
This Album of the Year that Beck won is the best album of the year, and that year is the last quarter of 2013 and the first three quarters of 2014.
Right.
What is that? That's dumb to me.
Because now, keep in mind, like September 30th is the cutoff, because in order for us to have the Grammy Awards at the time that we have them, you have to have the cutoff at that point.
Yeah.
If you push it forward, suddenly we're going to have the Grammy Awards in April.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're always going to run up against the problem of, we missed some recordings. It wasn't the end of the year, or, you know, because then you have the problem of like, well, Beyonce's album should have really been up the previous, you know, but it came, luckily Beyonce came out in December. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
It's tough.
But yes, 1989, clearly a front runner for easy lock for being nominated next year for Album of the Year.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what makes it, if anything that already has been released as along with 1989, some that off the top of my head, Black Messiah by D'Angelo and the Vanguard. I mean, one of the best reviewed albums of 2014 that came out in the last few weeks of 2014. And another one, maybe Nicki Minaj, The Pink Print. I don't know if it's gotten that kind of critical acclaim, but you never know.
Kind of an aside here. We talked about in the previous Pop Shop podcast with Nile Rodgers, where we talked about how Meghan Trainor was not nominated for Best New Artist.
Yeah.
We found out on the carpet why she was not eligible for Best New Artist. It's because even though she released an EP last year, which should qualify you because you have to release one album during the eligibility period, that album has to have at least 5 songs, according to the sources that we were talking to on the carpet, in order to be eligible for Best New Artist.
Yeah.
Her EP only had 4 songs, and therefore she was not eligible to be put into the Best New Artist field, and that's why she was not nominated for Best New Artist, or at least, you know, she didn't have a chance.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone was beating Sam Smith this year,
yeah.
If it makes her feel better.
Yeah, there you go, consolation.
Leslie, let's take one more.
So Ernesto in Taiwan again, he is really going to be upset with us if we don't talk about Gwen and Adam, their performance doing My
he's
Heart.
He's going to be really
open.
Upset
yeah,
with us.
He really
upset.
Wants
Ernesto.
Us to talk about that.
I'm like,
he's
what
gonna, he's shaking his fist in Taiwan. Why? Yeah, this was my least favorite performance of the night, actually.
It was just okay.
Yeah, it was just okay. I didn't think it was bad.
I mean, it wasn't bad. We were talking about, I think at the time that it was happening, was kind of like, why? Why are they doing this?
I want to talk about this more because I love this. I love this topic, which is Adam Levine the first, you know, rock, pop, whatever, frontman, singer to go solo without actually releasing a solo album?
Like, he's effectively
he's
solo.
Effectively a solo artist. This song that he performed with Gwen Stefani is a Maroon 5 song.
But you wouldn't know it.
Why didn't Maroon 5 perform this song?
Why wasn't it like Maroon 5 with Gwen Stefani?
Yes. Why? It was Adam Levine with Gwen Stefani.
Somewhere right now, do you think like the rest of Maroon 5 is going like, where the fuck? God damn it, Adam.
They're shaking their fists and they're not even in Taiwan. I think that it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that like, this is so strange that he hasn't put out a solo album yet, But he's like a solo artist. He really is. Like, you know, he's on The Voice alone, and that's fine. Like, you know, obviously he's has a huge personality and is has been a great coach on The Voice, but now he's performing in award shows by himself. It's
yeah, I don't know. I
you seem bored by this.
I don't know. I mean, they could this performance slot could have been used for something else that might have been more compelling.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple performances throughout the show where I'm just like, they could have done something else with this.
Or they didn't need to.
I'm like, did this really need to go like the full 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
Like in the last 20 minutes of the show, there was no awards left. They had already given them all out.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, there's people probably like people there. I think they were hoping that like, oh, you're going to tune in and stay for Beyonce.
Yeah.
Clearly that's, you know, that's what they were hoping. And Beyonce
record of the year. But
no, but I mean, by like, you know, 10 after eight, they've given out all the awards.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
Let's take 1 minute to talk about the Beyonce John Legend Common
yes.
outro.
Big finale.
What do you think of it?
It's Beyonce. I mean, she's going to be amazing. And it was, you know, I thought a moment that you would only see on the Grammy Awards. And it's also Beyonce, and she's just amazing.
Let's take a second to acknowledge the fact that the Grammys weren't afraid to get a little political this year.
Super political between the Katy Perry performance and Beyonce's performance.
That's a positive to me. Like you think back to last weekend. I mean, I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl, Keith, but I watched it and they had.
I watched
like
halftime. I watched the Sharks.
They had this anti-domestic abuse PSA, and it's just like, come on, NFL, your credibility shot to hell. What are you doing? Like, this seems totally after the fact.
Introduced by Ray Rice.
And meanwhile, thankfully not. But I think you got our producer Jose with that one. But meanwhile, on the flip side, you have the Grammys, and they don't need to, you know, make this outro with a Selma Ferguson kind of tribute, kind of, you know, mashup between John Legend, Common, and Beyonce. Beyonce performing a gospel standard. But, you know, she takes it. She runs with it. Same thing with the Katy Perry performance. This wasn't necessary. Nobody would have complained if she didn't do this. But I'm glad they did it.
Yeah. And I agree.
So, Keith, we have a couple minutes left. Let's quickly talk about the red carpet.
You talked about
Sam Smith.
Right, yeah, no.
Yeah, we were on the red carpet.
We were on the red carpet, by the way. You'll be able to see all of our red carpet interviews Billboard.com/video, and I'm sure they'll be somewhere in the video hub on Billboard.com. But, yeah, we talked to dozens and dozens and dozens of people.
Yeah.
It was, like, nonstop from, like, noon to 5, basically.
It was just – it's so funny because you see all these big stars – and, you know, people like Taylor Swift, Rihanna.
I have a list of all the people that we talked to.
Kanye, they all walked by us, and then we talked to a ton.
There's some people that walked past us. Rihanna walked past us.
Yeah, but then you think about, there's just these little moments that stuck with me. Like talking to Juicy J, and his parents were behind him, and he was so proud that his parents were behind him at the Grammys. Like, this is Juicy J, and you, like, you wouldn't think that he would bring his parents to the Grammys. He was beaming.
You also talked to Paris Hilton, by the way.
I did talk to Paris Hilton. She said I looked okay.
She said you looked
Paris,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not okay.
High
she
praise.
Like, oh, you're, I forget what
you
she
look
said.
Hot.
She didn't say
no.
Hot.
We can just sort of like quickly like run down some of our favorite moments. I mean,
okay.
I can just rattle off some names. You talked to Haim.
Yes. Haim was
great.
Awesome. They're hilarious. Thankfully, Danielle, who was in a car accident last night, you read this headline that's like, Danielle Haim in a car accident. And I asked her, and she's like, no, that got blown way out of proportion. It was like a very minor fender bender. I was like, thank goodness.
Did TMZ run with it suddenly?
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm glad she's okay. They also brought their parents, speaking of parents. And they were, during the telecast, they were singing and dancing to every performance.
They were
awesome.
They were really feeling the ELO performance.
They were.
Yeah.
They were up on
I thought it was, who else did we talk to? We talked to, we're not going to like give moments for all these, but we talked to Charlie XCX, who you love, Charlie XCX. She seemed to love you.
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked to Dierks Bentley. We talked to Babyface. We talked to Rodney Jerkins. You talked to Rick Ross.
I did talk to Rick Ross. Shout out to Rick Ross for losing 1,000 pounds. I think someone put that.
Shout out to Rick Ross.
Shout out to Rick Ross. Maybe he might be watching this live podcast. He's not. But he is he's the nicest, and he's excited for a new Wale album, new Meek Mill album. He said there's a good chance he might drop an album this year as well.
We talked to Sam Smith, obviously. We talked to Hozier. We talked to Disclosure with Nile Rodgers and Jimmy Napes all at the same time. Yep. You talked to Barry Gibb.
I did.
You did. Who else? Long. You know, part of the crazy Pharrell performance.
Brandy Clark was absolutely lovely.
Hit Boy. Who else? Mastodon. Oh, that was funny.
If you have not seen Mastodon's Grammys wardrobe,
nice.
Just Google it right now. Just open a new window and Google it.
Yeah, I was thrilled to talk to Johnny Mathis.
Yes.
That was like.
You talked to him for like 20 minutes.
No, I did not.
Come on, man. You
stop.
There were like eight other artists waiting to talk, and you were just like, so, Johnny, let's talk about
your entire career.
Shut
up. You suck.
Yeah.
And you spent about as much time talking to Charlie XCX as I did talking to Johnny
All right.
Mathis.
Good point.
But we talked to a ton of people, and that's just like a tip of the. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of people. Look, there's tons of them, and they're all online now. Well,
yeah,
hopefully.
Go check out all of our Grammy coverage, obviously, at Billboard.com. Our whole Billboard.com team totally killed it, LA and New York. So check all that out. And Keith, I mean, we got to wrap. We have to wrap this up. Let's take one more question. Let's squeeze in one more question. And a huge shout out to Leslie for being here. And you can't see her, but she's all dressed up and she looks great. And Leslie, take it away. We need one more Twitter
Thank you.
Question.
That was very kind.
Is this Ernesto again?
No. No, but he keeps asking questions. So this is Vanessa. She wants to know who performs Chandelier better, Jason or Kristen Wiig?
Oh my goodness. That's tough. Is this Vanessa?
As in your fiance?
This might be my fiance.
This is a plant.
And I actually don't know.
It's a plant.
What if it's not? What if it's not? It's another Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa.
Wink, wink.
I'll see you back in New York. I would say I performed it correctly. That's all I'll say. I mean, no offense to Kristen Wiig. If you watch her performance.
No offense to her, but I did it better.
I did do it better. Like, if you watch her performance, the choreography, very solid.
Yeah.
Not exactly the one and then one. I'm just saying. Just saying. Speaking of which, I want to say very quickly that we're going to have a new So You Know You Can't Dance episode up on Billboard.com this week with Fifth Harmony. They taught me the sledgehammer dance. It was very, very fun.
So that you were like on a trapeze, like with a lot of like gauze and like silk floating behind you, and you're in a gown.
No, I don't think so. But there's some funness.
So.
There were some fun things during that shoot.
All right,
it's gonna be fun. That should be up maybe like middle of this week. So check out that on Billboard.com. Keith.
Yes, Jason.
I think we gotta go, man.
Yeah, you know, I thought you were like, we can talk for a long time. Like, oh, you know, maybe we should do this for like an hour. We could actually just keep on talking.
We want to keep on talking.
Well, no, we should probably say some of it. You know, we can do more stuff online, and you know, we've spent a good quality hour together. We have a tendency to have these Pop Shop podcasts/streaming live events go over an hour lately.
But here's the thing, like. When you have Nile Rodgers come in and start talking about hanging out with David Bowie, and then you have Annie Lennox stop by.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I don't want to limit that to a half hour. If you want to stop listening in a half hour, that's fine. They're free.
Yeah. Yeah. Eh. Yeah.
Keith.
Jason.
I want to make sure we got to every single thing.
This is the best part of the show where we both go,
you know what?
Let's
very quickly. What do you think of Kanye's performance?
His solo performance?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
You thought it was cool?
For only one, yeah. I thought it was cool. I thought it was, you know, simple, effective. You just have a light and it's just him. It doesn't need to be dressed up because the song is such a great song and it's so powerful just on its own.
Yeah.
It was great.
I thought that the thing about Only One is that it's a very moving song. It's a very touching song. I don't know if it's a song that I want to listen to over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool performance, and I wish that the song had kept me more interested. That's kind of how I felt. Keith, is
Jason.
There anything else?
I don't know. I mean, we could talk for a while. I mean, there's tons of stuff, but I think we covered all the major stuff.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm looking at our list. Usher was very solid. Juanes performed. Very solid.
There was 23
well.
Performances, folks. It's a very long evening.
Oh, you know what? Last thing, and then we'll go. What'd you think of Kanye rushing the stage momentarily?
That was kind of funny when Beck
really
won.
It was really funny. Come on.
And I know Beck was just like, no, no, come on up. It's fine. And he was probably thinking, you know, like, please make a statement about how, like, you think I shouldn't have won this award. Because basically he's going to run up there and say Beyonce should have won this award.
Would it have been funnier?
I'm assuming, right? That's yeah. People, that's what you're assuming,
yeah,
too,
exactly.
Right?
Like, I'm going to let you finish, Beck.
But Beyonce made the greatest album of the year.
Of all time.
Yeah. Probably all of all time. That was a funny moment, and I think Beck has a good sense of humor about that because he was just as flummoxed to
what
a
if
one.
What if he grabbed the mic? He's like, "I'm gonna let you finish, Beck." But Ed Sheeran, Multiply,
yeah,
is the greatest album of all time.
Pharrell. Actually, yeah. Well, that would I assumed that he was gonna run up there and, like, you know, have a Beyonce moment.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
Keith,
anyway, Jason,
the Grammys are over. I want to really. Thank everyone who's watching this live. You know, this was something we've been talking about for a while, doing a live podcast. Really happy to be able to do it in person.
And
in
with
Los
viewer
Angeles.
Interaction.
Yeah. We got some great questions. I hope, I hope we answered as many as we could.
Vanessa, I hope you're happy with that answer.
I'm taking credit for my Sia dance. I want to give a special shout out to Leslie. For sticking around.
Thanks,
and,
guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no.
This was fun.
It was fun. Especially
Leslie
thanks.
Is actually just a robot.
Yeah, what if she
Thank
was?
You, guys. So happy to help you.
Ernesto
Do you know my cousin Siri?
Taiwan wants to know.
Ernesto from Taiwan. This is the where we've had no food and we're getting a little bit weird.
It's so true. Keith, we'll be back this week on Thursday.
Right, for another
for the regular pop shop.
Oh, and
we should say that if you are watching this live and you missed anything, maybe you came in late. This is going to be on Billboard.com tomorrow morning.
Yep, on SoundCloud like normal, and on iTunes tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and hey, if you like the show, give us a rating on iTunes, give us a review. We've gotten a bunch of reviews as of late, and we appreciate all of them. So thanks to you guys. And Keith, do you have any parting words?
Sure. It was great seeing you. It was great having
you
out here. Yeah,
we
woo!
Did it.
I don't know. This is so awkward. High fiving. It's not really my thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like a
No, I just handshake, hug. I don't know. We're fist not going to hug now. No.
Fist bump.
For sure, fist bump. And a poo. Yeah. Awkward.
Thank you guys for watching and for listening. We will see you later this week, and take care. Bye.
Bye.